Paul, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolute pleasure. Firstly, how do we study what spaces should we consider hostile or in need of improvement?
There's a field in criminology called environmental criminology, and that looks at the location geographically and in time, so when and where crimes take place, you know, hopefully highlighting hotspots, which you can ideally target more easily than just crime that might take place generally. You know, crime isn't random. It does concentrate at certain places and at certain times, and that field of criminology is kind of that's its focus, rather than, you know, different forms of criminology that might look at either the law side of things or the offender and why he or she might commit a crime.
What kind of features would we say these geographical locations have that make them more susceptible to crime?
I suppose in some ways that's an emerging area, because to some degree planners, architects and urban designers haven't necessarily engaged too much with that evidence from criminology. Obviously it's a different discipline, but increasingly what we're seeing, especially with police forces to provide the crime data, is that you can focus on these areas, and they may have certain design features that might promote crime. For example, some attacks might take place in areas that can't be seen, dark and dingy places that aren't overlooked by other activities, you know, the typical subway or underpass that you might see in crime dramas, that kind of thing. So it's the idea is that you design environments where that surveillance is promoted, people can see and be seen, and that the idea is that that helps with citizens' sense of personal safety, and also can affect offenders' likelihood of intervening, because obviously most of them generally don't want to get seen, don't want to get apprehended, and don't want to get prosecuted.
When the police are sort of focusing in on these areas, especially for increased surveillance, I mean, what kind of form does that take? Is it just a case of needing more of a presence, increased patrols in an area? Do we see CCTV being used more commonly, or what is the actual focus?
I suppose, yes, CCTV is increasingly being used, but generally speaking, the research doesn't necessarily support it as a crime prevention measure, doesn't necessarily prevent too much crime, but it's often used after the fact be used in court for prosecutions. These ideas that I'm talking about, it's called crime prevention through environmental design. It's the idea that you can use urban design, planning and architecture in softer ways to open up spaces so that people, as I say, can feel part of a place, can be seen and see, and it's, you know, uses are kind of obvious, wayfinding's easy, people know where they are. It's a combination of principles that come together to hopefully create safer spaces, or at least places that are perceived to be safe as well.
You look across a map of Sydney and you'd have to say it doesn't look like a terribly well-planned city. Is this the kind of thing, or the kind of things you're looking at, are they the kind of thing we can actually implement in existing spaces, or something that really starts at the drawing board when planning urban spaces?
Both. It's a lot easier to do it from the drawing board from scratch before there's anything there, obviously, because you start with a clean sheet if you want, and obviously then you've got more options, but you can retrofit locations as well. Obviously that can be a bit expensive if you're doing major restructuring kind of stuff, but revitalizing an area, regenerating an area, often these ideas are used as part of the regeneration process, you know, to you can ensure that your fencing is more permeable rather than just having an 8-foot wall where no one can see through. You can have more permeable fencing so that you can see through it, which kind of promotes the intervisibility, if you want, between buildings and the street. You can trim shrubs and bushes down that might be obscuring surveillance. You can reconfigure properties so that rooms overlook the street, so that you've potentially got what Jane Jacobs called eyes on the street. And that's the idea then, that people feel safer with those eyes, and that offenders often will be deterred if there's extra eyes on the street, or, you know, and bringing in activities to places. It's all well and good having good design, but if no one's using it, you can end up with highly isolated places that then can become vulnerable. So it's a combination of design, management and use. And I think there probably there are some good examples in Sydney. I'm over here in Perth having storms. but most cities would have good examples, and most cities would have less good examples. But it's all states have got guidelines that planners and urban designers may or may not use. But yeah, increasingly, these ideas are being used for new developments and also for existing retrofits, for want of a better word.
Well, as you say, an emerging field. Obviously, want to keep our eyes on in the future if there are more plans put together, more sort of policies put together that can be brought to a great deal of designers. Very much appreciate your time, Paul. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Have a nice day.